Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does, and I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Now smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to Reading the Newberries, a team friendship podcast. We're on episode 25, where we're going to discuss the book The Gray King by Susan Cooper. I am Leah, and I'm joined today by my fellow podcasters, Lauren.
Hello, friends.
And Mandalay.
What up, friends?
And we are excited to get into this fantasy thriller.
Okay, Is that really what you consider it?
No. It's very sarcastic. I was not at all thrilled by this book.
Oh, I thought maybe you were saying it was a little too intense for you.
No, not at all. Anyway, let's get started with some book news.
Leah, go first.
I'll get us started. My first piece of book news is the book We Are the Gardeners by Joanna Gaines and her adorable kiddos. This book looks wonderful. She had a book release party this weekend at the Silos. Wish I could have been there. The book comes out on March 26th.
The Silos.
That's her place. That's her jam.
I
don't
want to be down there. It's warmer down there.
I don't want to go.
They have other problems, okay?
It's true. They got snakes and stuff.
And fire ants and...
I'm good.
There's a new bookstore that's opening in Waco, and I don't want to go until that bookstore opens, and then I'll go.
Let's go, guys. Like, team friendship trip.
I know, they're getting ready to open. I need to find them. I can't remember what their name is.
I'm in.
The bookstore in Waco is called Fabled Bookshop and Cafe.
Oh. Yes, I follow their Instagram.
And one of the owners, it's two ladies that are partners, and one of the owners, her and her husband, were on Fixer Upper.
Okay.
One of the episodes.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm very excited for them.
They've been working on this for a long time.
2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. That's going to be really cool, though. I'm excited for them. So anyway, back to my book news. We Are Gardeners by Joanna Gaines. So basically it's just her and her little kids in this beautiful picture book talking about their gardening adventures and just different problems they have run into and how to fix them. And it just looks adorable.
Oh, I'm excited about
it's
that.
It's so cute. It kind of has how do you say that? Swedish hygge or whatever the.
Oh, yes.
The cover reminds me of that. It's very Swedish and very cute. Anyway. My other book that I found, I don't believe we've talked about this, and I don't understand I did not know this was coming so soon, too, probably before this podcast gets out. On March 19th, the book, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood by Fred Rogers is coming out. It says, for the first time ever, 75 beloved songs from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and the Children's Corner are collected in this charmingly illustrated treasury. Sure to be treasured by generations of children, as well as the millions of adults who grew up with Mr. Rogers.
Also, guys, I'm getting this. Whether I get it for myself or someone gets it for me, I'm getting this.
It looks adorable.
Yes.
I don't know how we didn't know about this. I don't understand.
I'm glad you found out about it, though. I'm glad.
We don't have a line out somewhere. We have all these lines out.
Exactly.
We need to get another line
I found this just by looking up new releases on Amazon. And they have a list of the upcoming kids' releases. And this was on it. They have a little blurb from one of his little songs. It says, it's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like.
You guys.
That Mr. Rogers. So I'm very excited for that. Very excited.
Cool. Well, guys, we have another posthumous Dr. Seuss book coming out.
Ooh.
Crazy.
It's coming September 3rd.
He's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Isn't he? It's the title of it is going to be, or is, Horse Museum So
exciting.
Be looking for that one. Also, I've got a lot of Karina Yan Glazer news, okay?
She had a lot of news coming out.
So, new sequel titles in the Vanderbeekers series have been announced. So, The Vanderbeekers to the Rescue, which is going to be the third book in the series, comes out September 17th of this year.
This year?
Yes.
This one.
This one we're in.
I don't know what happened in my notes here. Book four, not book.
Money sign. Money sign.
It's
this one's going to bring in the dollars.
You just got the gold on your mind.
Book money.
Anyway, so book four, which does not have a title yet, will be released fall of 2020. And then book five is going to be coming fall of 2022.
2020 is going to be my year.
Okay.
Cool. I scheduled that like 10 years ago. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, we'll add this to your calendar.
Fall 2020.
Also, Karina has a new podcast starting through Book Riot, and it's called Kidlit These Days. You can check out the very first episode, which is like just a little intro episode with her and her co-host. Her co-host is a librarian, a school librarian. Fun. So he's really fun. So you can listen to that now. So
today.
Yeah.
This year.
Right now. And maybe the second episode will be out by the time this gets released, our episode gets released. So yeah. So that's going to be super cool. Mm-hmm. You want to take the next one, Mandy?
Yes. Yes, I will. I will. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire illustrated edition comes out on October 8th this year.
Yes. Christmas wish list.
Awesome. I'm so excited about that. All right, guys. Catherine, I want to share this with you guys, and I want to start sharing more of this stuff with you guys, especially of those of you that live around in the same area as we do, mm-hmm. In the Northern Illinois region, Southern Wisconsin region. So Catherine Applegate, so she's the author of The One and Only Ivan. She is going to be in Naperville on Tuesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. So this event is free and open to the public. So if you're in the area, and you're free that night, I would highly recommend going to this. And so the event is free, but you do need to secure a ticket to get in. So I will put the link to where you can do that. All you have to do is like sign up, and then it gives you a ticket. It also gives the option to purchase one of her books, and then you can get it there, and then she'll sign it for you. So
it's very convenient.
Yeah. So we're still deciding if we're going to go. Leah has a big life event happening that day.
Hopefully.
But anyway, we can talk about that later.
Going to the dentist.
That's terrifying.
I'm just kidding. That's not it.
Oh. Okay. I was going to say, your teeth are pretty straight.
Thanks.
But yeah, I think it'd be fun if one of these days we could have like a team friendship meetup at an author event, like with some of our listeners. I think that'd be super fun.
That would be so fun.
All right. So that concludes our book news.
Yay. Dun, da, da, dun.
All right, guys. Our social media question that we want to talk about today is...
This year.
How do you typically choose your next read? Leah, how do you typically choose your next read?
I am very ADD when it comes to reading. So typically, when I finish a book, whatever source is pumping book recommendations into my brain, that's what I do.
All right.
So whether I'm listed, I like to listen to What Should I Read Next? That podcast always gives you lots of book ideas. I have my Goodreads, where I see other people's book recommendations, and then I keep track of all the books I want to read. And I think that's about it, where I find book recommendations. So it just depends on where I'm at in my book reading. Also, because of this podcast, I've been recommended two books that I've really, really enjoyed, and I'm about to dig into one of them. So thank you, listeners, for helping me out with my book recommendations.
Thank you.
So I have a couple of answers from our Instagram account. The first one is from our friend Tammy. She says she likes to find book recommendations online or from friends, and sometimes just find something interesting at the library. When all else fails, I go to the shelves of my favorite authors and see if there's anything new or new to me. Also, a new way, this is Leah speaking, that I am getting book recommendations is we have a friend that has just started this kind of book share group.
Yes.
And I got a lot of recommendations just from people.
Yes, that was so fun.
Talking about books. It's so great. Okay. And then another friend, David, says, well, it goes something like this. Me. Does it have a spaceship on the cover? Also me. Yes. Me.
Nice.
I want to read that book.
I like it.
It's so true. I love that.
Our friend David also has a page on Facebook called, what is it called? Fellow Bibliomaniacs?
I believe so.
Where he just shares bookish stuff.
We
so
put a link in our show
check
notes.
That out. Mm-hmm. Mandy, how do you typically choose your next read?
I am a cover girl. Yeah, I have a thing for pretty covers. And I have an entire bookshelf that has spawned from this problem. So
cool.
And I don't mean one shelf. I mean like four shelves.
Like a bookcase.
Yeah. Okay. This one is from Sarah Dare. I have a very advanced system which involves keeping a stack of books next to my bed that have piqued my interest. I like this. When I finish a book, as I did this week, I sift through the stack and read the first paragraph of each page in each book. These are books that I have recently picked up at the library, used bookstore, or have been recommended by friends. This weekend, I finished Mrs. Lewis and picked up the Potato Peel Society book.
She's going to love that one, I hope.
I hope so, too.
She's not an audiobook girl. That's okay.
It's all right, yeah.
It's not for everyone.
I'm all about the book stack next to the bed, though.
Yes.
That is me. Beth Olson, I usually look for similar writing styles among authors. I prefer period fiction, so that's where I start. Always good to have a starting point. And Teresa, I don't know how to say her last name. She says, good question. Usually my mood.
That makes a difference, too.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Lauren, how do you typically choose your next read?
Well, thank you for asking, Mandy. I usually get recommendations from friends and other podcasts. So like Leah said, the What Should I Read Next podcast. And I also like a podcast called Currently Reading. So check that one out if you're into stuff like that. I also get the weekly Book Riot newsletter by our good friend Karina Yan Glaser. The newsletter is called The Kids Are All Right. And so she just, every week on every Tuesday, she shares that week's new releases in children's books. So you can find some fun stuff there. So our friend Zoe says, I usually choose from friend recommendations and from reviews I read on in BookPage, which is a monthly book review publication that their library receives. So I want to check that out. BookPage. Our number one fan, Joey Clapp, says he gets his recommendations from the lovely ladies at Team Friendship. So,
we did not pay him to say that.
No. Lori Smith Bowes says, this year I'm looking to my own bookshelf for my next reading material. I'm determined that if I own a book, I will have read it. Lofty goal, I know. Although that doesn't include book recommendations from friends, I'm reading one of those right now. What's available at the library, new ones my daughter grabs for me, and of course the books that come out during the year that I must have. # it's a good reading life. And then I have one from Angie Good. She says, the cover, and if not the cover, usually whatever book accidentally made its way to my home via Amazon Prime for a recent trip to the bookstore. Also, Sarah Dara's recommendation. So. Even amongst our listeners, they're sharing books with each other. So I love the camaraderie, guys.
It is great. Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, ladies.
Yes.
Are we ready to get into this book?
Let's do it.
All right, guys. So this book, The Gray King, King by Susan Cooper. This is the winner of the 1976 Newbery Medal. That was too intense, right?
No.
No? Okay.
We need more energy.
Okay.
We do.
With the final battle between the light and the dark soon approaching, Will sets out on a quest to call for aid. Hidden within the Welsh hills is a magical harp that he must use to wake the sleepers, six noble riders who have slept for centuries. But an illness has robbed Will of nearly all his knowledge of the old ones, and he is left only with a broken riddle to guide him in his task. As Will travels blindly through the hills, his journey will bring him face to face with the most powerful lord of the dark, the Grey King.
Dun, dun, dun!
The king holds the harp and sleepers within his hands. Within his lands.
And his hands.
His and
gray head.
I just picture him like dropping all the people.
Land.
Sorry.
Not my hand.
And there has yet to be a force strong enough to tear them from his grasp. Do you see how confusing that is?
So then he picks it back up.
Land, grasp. I see.
Oh, wow. I could almost not make it through that description. It's too intense.
Okay, Leah, give us some author history and some book background.
Do it.
Some behind the scenes tidbits.
So I should have looked this up, but feel free to Google it if anyone's listening to this.
I'm gonna Google it right now.
The requirements to win a Newbery are that you have to be a U.S. citizen and living within the United States. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So,
do we have a loophole winner here?
No, I'm sure she was a citizen. She came and married a MIT professor, and that she was living here when she won. However, Miss Susan Cooper was actually born in Buckinghamshire, England.
Ooh. What a delightful little town! I bet that is,
which is Will's hometown in the book. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Her history is so intriguing to me, and I think it's just because it's not American. But so she grew up before the start of World War II, and she said she spent many nights as a child in their family air raid shelter listening to her mother read to her and her little brother by candlelight. So this, and the fact that she was not allowed outside after dark because of the blackout, and also that blackout meant they could have TV on, could not have TV
sure,
on.
Sure.
So that meant she spent a lot of her time reading as a child or being read to.
That is the kind of story that as a young elementary girl, I would have been like, that is so cool.
Yep. Me too. As I was reading this, it's like, you know, I just have visions of her and her little romantic.
Yeah.
What is it?
Although I'm sure at the time, like in real life, it was probably very scary.
Exactly. So that is how she just was. All about the reading and literature. The fact that she writes a lot about good and evil or light and dark, that's her main theme in I think most of her books. That came from the fact that she was constantly being reminded every time the air raid alarm went off that an enemy was trying to kill her. So she said she developed a very strong sense of us and them or good and evil or light and dark from a very young age because those realities are there. Like you can't really sugarcoat that. Like as American parents, I know a lot of times I'm not a parent, but I hear that, you know, we try to make things softer. You don't want to introduce kids to things too early. But when you're literally hiding from people that are trying to kill you, like it's kind of hard to we're going to go play pretend in our air raid bunker
right.
now. So anyway, that's where her love of the good and evil, light and dark theme came from. Her grandparents also greatly influenced her writing. Her grandmother was from Wales, which is where most of this story that we read takes – well, all of it takes place in Wales. And then her grandfather had a love of theater. So he introduced her to that kind of artistic realm. And she would spend a lot of her summer holidays in Wales. And then eventually her parents moved there for the last 20 years of their life. So she kind of felt like Wales was home as well to her.
Interesting.
And she said she's always loved words. Her mom always encouraged a love of words and reading. And both her and her younger brother grew up to be writers, Susan and her younger brother. So she also went to Oxford, and this was the other part of her life that I was just, first of all, I think I didn't have in my head the proper timeline for these two authors that I'm going to mention. Second of all, I think like English history and English timeline to me is separate from the US. So anyway, she went to Oxford. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were both teaching when she was at Oxford.
No what? Way.
So she went to lectures for both of them. I'm not sure that either one of them were her technical like professor, but she went to lectures that both of them gave.
That's awesome.
And she said that their English syllabus, because they were there, they set it up that, what did it say? It'd be heavy on Middle English and writers like Mallory and Spencer. So as a friend of mine says, they taught us to believe in dragons. And they were both often to be seen drinking beer in a pub called The Eagle and the Child, known as The Bird and Baby. I've never personally met, this is her talking, I've never personally met Tolkien or Lewis, and I'd never heard of Narnia, but we were all waiting eagerly for the third volume of The Lord of the Rings to come out, and I loved going to Lewis's booming lectures on Renaissance literature. Tolkien lectured on Beowulf and was rather mumbly, except when declaiming the first lines of the poem in Anglo-Saxon, beginning with a great shout of whatever the word is that I don't know. Sorry to leave you hanging there. So I thought that was super cool.
That's awesome.
Do you guys have thoughts on that? Because I was, my mind was just exploding.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's what just happened to me there.
It's interesting. Like now that I know that, I mean, you can almost maybe a little bit see that in her book. I mean, I've only read this one, and Leah, you've read more.
Yes.
So that's really interesting.
Felt that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I could definitely see that once she said it. Yeah. And also the fact that she'd never heard of Narnia kind of was shocking, but
right,
it's cool. You know,
whatever.
So here's another connection that I think is just cool because we don't get a lot of these British, UK connections, but she worked for the London Sunday Times, and she said she partly worked on a column being put together by a little known author named Ian Fleming. He was just starting to write the James Bond books at the time.
Very cool.
So that was pretty cool. So then she ended up marrying a widowed MIT professor. He was 19 years her senior, and a little scandal in there. And she moved to the U.S., and so that's where she's lived ever since. However, she was very, very homesick for Wales and England.
I would be too.
Yeah. So that is what led her to write This Dark is Rising sequence. And I think you really get that. It is an ode to Wales and England.
Yeah.
You can tell. She loved it.
Yeah.
So that made sense to me as well, that she was trying to ease her homesickness. And we've seen that too. That was Kate DiCamillo's kind of theme for why she wrote, was it Winn-Dixie? No. One of her books, she was homesick for Florida, and she wrote a book based in Florida. So that makes sense.
I would be homesick for Florida every day if I lived in Minnesota.
Yeah, me too. It's rough. That's even worse than living here.
Yeah.
As far as winters go. Anyway, so that is my author history / some book history there.
Thank you, Leah.
You're welcome.
That was so interesting.
I know. I was very excited when I read about her.
That's like, so cool. I can't wait to tell them. That's really cool. Well, guys, let's get into this book discussion.
We're doing it.
All right. First, we're going to talk about what we liked and what we did not like. Who would like to go first?
So I really enjoyed the scenery. I love the British countryside and apparently the Welsh countryside because in my head they look the same. Don't correct me if I'm wrong.
That's how I felt. I kept picturing Ireland the whole time.
Right. I mean, they're all very close in location, so it makes sense.
Great Britain is like the size of Pennsylvania. To put it in perspective.
Well, there we go.
So, there,
so I'm not wrong.
I mean, like Wales is very close.
I
like,
took a ferry to Scotland when I was in Ireland.
Yeah.
So
if you like look at them on a map, it's interesting because they're all so close together, but they all talk like even within like England, like they all have such distinct accents. Yes. It's super interesting.
Yes. With Eleanor Oliphant, that book.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that on audiobook, and I swear there were 7 different accents, and they were all living in the same city.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yep.
I don't understand. Anyway, so I really enjoyed the setting and just kind of the culture there. The Welsh culture was intriguing to me. This book, if we have not mentioned that yet, is book four of a series. I did not enjoy that I didn't know the history, and since then I've started reading book 2, which is the most popular, I think, of this series, and that has helped a lot, because I felt like this book should have been very like climactic and intense, mm-hmm. and I felt like I was missing something because he had the big fight and I was like, okay, mm-hmm. so that happened.
Yeah.
Now what? So I felt a little lost, and I guess that's kind of my own fault because I didn't take the time to totally read an entire series, but it seemed like a bit much to ask for a podcast I'm not getting paid to do. So.
Yes.
So those were my likes and dislikes.
What about you, Mandy?
I enjoyed it. I too enjoyed the setting. However, at times her description started irritating me, because I was just like, okay, I don't care. Like, I know we're on the mountain.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I'm right there with you. I hate descriptions of scenery.
I would literally just like read over it. Yeah. Like, yeah. 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 Okay. What's happening?
Yeah, we get it. There's trees. There's rocks. There's a lake. The sheep.
Yes. Okay.
The sky is
gray.
And
I'm just like bouncing around in the countryside. Leah loves it. Like, guys, isn't this so great?
Like,
when is the murder going to happen?
She must have learned how to describe scenery from Tolkien.
There you go.
Because those are the parts of The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit that I would. I would just, I was like, oh, he's talking about the scenery. I'm just going to skip that paragraph because I don't care.
Yep.
I mean, I care. And I just feel like she got a little bit. It was a little too much, but that's okay. I felt the same as Leah as far as, like, when the big battle happened or whatever. It was sort of, I don't know, not super exciting to me, like, sort of exciting, but I feel like it would have been more exciting if, like, I had already invested 3 books before this and...
I thought I almost missed it. I think I was listening to it on audiobook, and all of a sudden it's like, wait... Oh, they already battled. Oh,
It was a short moment, but if you've read a series and you've gone through like 3 books or whatever, like that would have been something up. You waited for however long.
Exactly. Yeah, it was very anticlimactic for me.
Meaningful,
and not like I wasn't like scared of, like, sometimes in these moments you're like scared or worried. Annoyed. I was like, can we just get through this?
The cabin scene where his, like, that whole scene felt very weird to me. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not a very great descriptive word, but that's all I can think. It was just weird. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around what was going on. And it felt like it was taking forever for this kid to be in a cabin stuck with a dog, or was it a dog? Yeah, the dog that couldn't move. And that scene, I felt like, dragged on forever. Like,
that's a scene where he gets, like, a revelation about who he is.
Yes.
Which, again, I think if we had read the other books, it would have been like, yes.
Because I did not care.
Yeah. Right. But I was like, oh, okay, that's cool, I guess. Whatever.
Anyway. But I also liked all of, like, the her Welsh history stuff that she sort of
really liked that. That was cool.
To it. Yeah, it was.
The Welsh language is really interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I didn't pronounce anything right.
Oh, I definitely listened to the audiobook while I was reading at the beginning, because just kept saying these words and it was driving me nuts that I couldn't figure out how to say it.
Yeah.
So I listened to it for a while.
I do like, though, because there is a section in the book where, like, one of the characters is helping the other character describe the words correctly. And I was like, oh, this is super helpful for me. Thank you.
Well, I think that would be great, too, in a classroom or homeschool setting. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about Welsh culture, then you get a free little language lesson. Well,
and I wonder if, again, the previous books had more of that in it. So maybe you would have been more introduced to it by the time you got to this book.
I don't know.
Lauren, what did you like/dislike about this book?
So what I disliked,
I'll just echo all the same things you guys disliked. In addition to that, I found this book to be extremely boring. Yeah. It took me forever to get through this book, and it shouldn't have because it's not long.
Yeah, it's very short.
Like, I would read it, 190 like, read pages. A little bit, and then I'm like, I'm falling asleep.
That's so funny because I mean, it was boring to me, but somehow I ended up plowing through it.
Maybe, I was nervous I wasn't going to finish it in time. I was really, I seriously was, but then, like, because we were originally supposed to record a few days ago. And, like, it was, like, 2 days before, and I was like, I have to finish this book today. And so I, like, I told myself, okay, you have to read 10 pages, and then you can play your little game on your computer, and then you can come back and read 10 more. Like, I had to. I had to give myself a sentence. Because the chapters were
about 10 pages long, so that's what I would do.
Yeah.
You can eat dinner after you read these 10 pages.
I felt like I was back in school.
Oh. Yeah, I definitely had to do that with myself as well, which I expected because I'm not big into the fantasy.
But this was just...
But it wasn't...
It was really rough.
There were meaty parts, though.
There were. There were sections where it was really intense, but then it would go back to, like, regular life, I guess, or I don't know.
Right.
So that kind of leads me into what I did like about the book. I really like how... So this book is set in... like the 70s, like when she, it's a contemporary setting of when she wrote the book. Right. And so I find that really, I like stuff like that. I think it's really cool. So she's like incorporating this like fantasy, like mythology into like a present day setting. And I thought, I really like that. It reminded me of like Percy Jackson because that's what the Percy Jackson books are. Any of the Rick Riordan books, he doesn't just have Percy Jackson anymore. Like he has like some Norse mythology books. He has some Egyptian mythology books. And all of those are about kids in like present day. But then they're like interacting with these gods and stuff. So that's what this reminded me of. So since I was comparing it to that too, I was just like, well, she almost made it. Like she almost did a good job with this. I just thought she could have done a little bit of a better job, but I liked that. I liked that what she was trying to do, or I mean, I think she did it. But I like stories like that where it's like almost like it's like well, regular real life, and now like some type of fantastical element is introduced. I don't know. I just like stuff like that. I think it's cool. So I really liked that. I liked the Arthurian tie-in. Toward the end of the book, you find out that one of the characters is like a descendant of Arthur or something like that.
Yeah.
But that was a very small part of this book. It was.
There's another book after it.
Right. So I want to read or at least the second book and see if maybe there's more of that in there. See even the books after this to see where they go with that because that was super interesting. So I liked that element of it. There's these books that I'm in the process of reading, and it's called, well, the first book is called Here There Be Dragons. I've talked about it before. So if you haven't read those books and you like fantasy, read those books. And I think they're young adult books. So
Here There Be Dragons?
Yeah.
They're big books.
They're really big. I read the first one and then I listened to the second one on audio, which was delightful because it's this British narrator and they're just super delightful to listen to. But anyway, it reminded me of that because those books have like Arthurian stuff in them too. So I don't know why I brought that in, but I just think everyone should read those books.
To C.S. Lewis and
Tolkien.
And Tolkien.
Yes. In a very fun way, I think. So... Go look it up. The name of the series is called the Imaginarium Geographica series. So, Mandy, I really think you would like those books. Like, if you need to, like, make yourself read 10 pages and play video games, like, just do it. Like, for real, like, you will love those books.
Okay.
Maybe I'll buy them for you for your birthday. Or the first one.
That's coming.
Because there's like 8 books in the series. So
I'll buy the second
there one. There we go.
Exactly 1 month from tomorrow, listeners. Wow. Which tomorrow is the 17th of March.
And now we've dated ourselves.
And my birthday is in April too. April 9th though. So it's closer. Coming even sooner.
And I take gifts all year round. So...
Oh, nice.
So I definitely would recommend, if this book was intriguing to you or this series is intriguing to you, I would recommend, I don't know, I haven't read the first one, but I would say start with book two, because that book is reminiscent of Harry Potter, especially when he's first finding out about his powers and all that stuff. It has time travel. It has magic. It sets up the whole entire plot for this series.
Okay.
And it's good. Like, I'll give it a try. It has kept me entertained. I've been doing the audiobook version, and I'm going to finish it because I want to know what happens.
Okay.
She definitely sets up a world that is very reminiscent of Tolkien or Lewis or Harry Potter.
Like, yeah, our friend Zoe said that a movie was made of that second book.
And that's
but
why
it
I was in-
wasn't very good, is yeah, what I've heard.
It's set in America.
Okay, that was their first mistake.
And stop doing that,
the
filmmakers.
The main character is this American teenage kid.
No one wants to watch an American teenager. Nobody.
Living out Welsh history. Like, no. Seriously?
Why?
Idiots.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Okay, so if there's any filmmakers out there that want to try again.
Yeah, because as I'm reading this, I could see it being a really good movie. And it's really frustrating to me that that's what they did with it. I was excited. And then I looked at it. Watched the like preview for it.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's kind of a side note. One of the things I noticed with this book is there's hardly any female characters. Are there more female characters in the other books, Leah?
There are some female characters, but the main characters are all male. Okay. And there's really no explanation for that. A lot of her books are that way. Susan Cooper's books.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's just like a thing with fantasy sometimes. Like when you look at The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, it's very heavy on the male characters. Like the movies, they had to like rewrite some of the stuff to get more female characters up front. Like I think in the Hobbit movies, they actually invented a character to put in there because there's no female characters.
Well,
so
it could also be like a time thing of when it was written.
Sure, yeah.
You know, because I just listened to this podcast about the marketing of video games and how they were marketed to boys for so long. So maybe this was like a similar thing.
Yeah, maybe they were just trying to get boys to read more.
You know, that's a boys thing.
So that was my other question and kind of question for why this book won the Newbery. And I looked up a little bit about the fantasy genre and how it's evolved, especially for YA. And this time frame in the 70s was another time where that was kind of reawakening. Like, it's gone through different spurts. But this was during that time. And I feel like that is probably why it won a Newbery, this particular book. Mm-hmm. Her other book, book two, I believe it was, got the Honor Award for the year it came out, which I could see that one winning. But this one, it seems to me that it won because that was a popular genre at the time and they were excited that it was being marketed toward children. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, because 1969, which was like 7 years earlier, right? Did I get my math right?
I don't know what year this came out. Yes.
But that was the year the High King won, which was the fifth book in the Chronicles of Prydain, which is the Black Cauldron.
Right.
The series The Black Cauldron comes from. And then when was The Hero and the Crown was 1985. So it seems like within like the 70s and 80s that was popular.
But it seemed to me too like that was just her go-to was a male lead. Yeah. Like even when she was just beginning as a writer just for fun, she always had a male lead.
Well, and it's also based on, or at least she ties in whatever Welsh history and stuff, so I don't really know much about that. Maybe it's mostly male figures in there, quote unquote.
I haven't gotten terribly far in that book, but it seems like all of these, what are they called? The old ones or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
They're all male. So I don't know.
Ooh, so kind of like Avatar, The Last Airbender. Except they weren't all male.
And he is the last, he's the last and like youngest.
So nothing like it at all.
Of the old ones.
Of the old ones.
Yeah.
And they even like, I don't want to spoil anything, but There's a lot of epic things that happen in this book too. I'll just say that.
There is. I felt like how you feel like if you catch like the third movie in a series where like it can be gripping and intriguing, but the whole time you're like, oh, I gotta watch the other movies mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. I would just say if this is a book you want to put on your Newbery list, read book two and then read this one. You don't need to read the whole series.
Read the whole series. Commit. Come on.
Then just don't read this book.
Don't read this book is what I would say.
Yeah. I bought the whole series.
It's a snooze fest.
Wow.
It may not have been a snooze fest had we have had previous
it knowledge, would have been though. Better as a movie.
I still think, though, it would have been a less favorite book in the series.
You know. I mean, maybe.
We have less favorite books.
Because you know? The whole time that I was reading and some stuff was making me snooze, I kept thinking, I feel like there's something I'm missing here.
Like, I never felt lost.
No, I didn't feel lost. I just felt like I would have maybe appreciated some stuff more if I
knew other stuff. Yeah, I still don't think it was that exciting of a book. And I know more about book two, and it still doesn't make it exciting for me.
Well, you skipped book one.
We'll just have to agree to – well, book one I've heard is not very good and doesn't help you at all with the plot of the rest of the series.
Yeah, there's completely different characters in book one. I think they come back at like book five or something. But
it's really fun too because he has a big family, and so you meet mm-hmm. all of his siblings, and their family relationships are very interesting to me. So that and this is all in the second book. I'm not going to talk about this book anymore. This book is called The Dark Is Rising.
Yes, book The two. Dark Is Rising.
It is a Newbery Honor book, so cool. Check that off your list. Anyway, do we have anything else to say about this?
You asked the question, where does this fit in the fantasy genre?
Yeah, right? I just wanted to know how you felt about this within all of your lovey.
Like, what do you mean?
We kind of talked about that a little bit.
What do you mean by that question?
I think you've really answered it,
though. Are you asking if it's welcomed?
No, I was just curious because it's an older fantasy book, but it's also, like, she's trying to set up a world and, you know, do all of that.
So I like the world. I just, this book was boring.
Poor Lauren.
Sorry. But you kind of answered
it. I also have a hard time, and this is just my own personal struggle that I need to work on. I have a hard time when I read other fantasy books that are not as popular as Lord of the Rings or Chronicles of Narnia or even Harry Potter. I have a hard time with trying. I try to like I compare them. So I'm like, okay, so in this book, this group of people is called the Old Ones. So that would be like in Lord of the Rings, that would be like right. Gandalf and all of those right, guys. Right. And so I'm trying to make it fit instead of just reading this book for what it is. But that's how my brain works, is I try to make things fit into my what I already have, like my own schemata.
So it's what's familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't say that that's bad, though, because it seems like there is a general overarching, like, scheme. Mm-hmm. It seems like there is an overarching theme that these books are all trying to follow, because even in book two, I was doing that, like, oh, okay, this happened with Harry Potter, mm-hmm. and it's happened in some other ones. I can't think of what they were. But the way that they're setting everything up, like he has his instructor, like Gandalf mm-hmm. and everybody, you know, there's always the instructor and even the way she describes him.
Well, I think they all follow that basic hero's journey, like cycle, I guess is what it is.
Well, he learns about his powers and then they find the special book. It's going to tell him everything he needs mm-hmm. to know. And then like it checks all the boxes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just, it's okay to I feel like compare that stuff because I kept doing it, but then I would have to stop myself.
Well, yeah, I think I need to remind myself, like, this book isn't Lord of the Rings, and it doesn't right. have to, it does not everything has to fit into the categories that there are in the Lord of the Rings. And so, but I have that problem with a lot of fantasy books. I just read a book a few months ago called The Dragon with the Chocolate Heart, which is a super cute book. It's about a dragon, a young dragon girl who she gets turned into a human. And she loves chocolate.
Ooh, I like her already.
Yeah, it's a really cute book. There's a second book called The Girl with the Dragon Heart, and I haven't read that one yet, but... Yeah, it's super cute, but I was kind of doing that in there. I was like, oh, there's dragons, like the Hobbit. But then, like, there's, like, mages. So I was like, I play Hearthstone.
wow.
Which comes from World of Warcraft, which I'd never played or done anything like that. But I watched the movie Warcraft. Anyway, I'm getting way off topic here.
She's just, like, connecting words now.
Yeah. But anyway, so, like, that, like, reminded me of that. So I'm like, oh, like, there's mages and all this other stuff. So, anyway. Mm-hmm. I just do that a lot.
It's okay to do that.
Yeah.
You just have to remind yourself, this is its own story. Yeah. And it's okay if they don't do this next, like,
it's okay.
This book
It's
did.
Okay. But I think that's also part of why, like, if you're going to write fantasy, you better do a good job. Because I'm me and everyone else who's read The Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia and Harry Potter.
There's a lot to live up to.
There is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's a reason they're popular.
Yeah.
And it seems like a difficult genre to be successful in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to get that cult following. And
yes.
I think that's what carries you through all your other books.
Which I think she did get. I think there is a cult following of this series.
Well,
like
from
just based
I
on
Googled,
the Goodreads comments. Yeah.
Well, they even had a rereading of this in 2017, I think. They started some hashtag trend on Instagram to get everybody to reread the series, and they were going to start it.
Ooh.
But like, basically, everything starts with book two. Like, that's what it is. Like,
yeah.
They're going to start reading it at this time.
Yeah.
This
Go
book,
ahead and just spark note book one.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's where Will's hero journey starts in book two.
He's like the main character of the series. So
I think she just needed to get her feet wet in book one, and then she realized what needed to happen and took off from there. Anyway, but a lot of people were comparing this with some of the political events that were happening.
Oh, really?
Which that's kind of why I wanted to read it, to see what they were talking about.
Does
but it's
she,
like the dark versus the light.
Did you find any information that she was trying to do this like allegorically based on current events?
So she's just, all I could find was that she said her experience with war and dark and light, the different sides of war, that's what inspires her to do this dark versus light theme, which is very prominent in this book for sure.
Okay.
So that's what she said on her interview.
Interesting.
But anyway, it's interesting to me, though, that there is this following. And I'm not in the fantasy world, so I don't know it. But it's on a lot of lists, like on Goodreads for the YA fantasy novels that you need to read. Her books are on that list. So she definitely got herself a following. Obviously, she won a Newbery, too. So that's something. Just a little award they threw her way.
Yeah.
So I think the only other thing we were going to talk about with this is whether... And not that this opinion really even matters, but what we think about books in a series winning the Newbery.
Here's what I think. I think it would be fun and interesting to maybe introduce another award category for children's book series. So in addition to the Newbery Medal, like have a children's book series award that they give out. So like when the series is completed, then, you know, whatever series were completed that year, then they could all be up against each other and an award could be given. That's kind of what I think should happen. I just want to know, how do they base their opinion, or how do they judge? Right. Like, how do they make their judgments on this book, which is the fourth book in the series? Like, did all the librarians on the committee that year, like, had they read the previous books? I don't know. I just want to know what all goes into that decision to give us a book that's, like, the fourth book in the series, or we were talking about The High King, which was, it's in the Chronicles of Prydain, or the Prydain Chronicles series. I think The High King is the fifth book in the series, that one in 1969. So it's like they have to be basing their decision at least in part on the previous books, don't you guys think?
I think especially for this one, that was my takeaway.
Yeah.
They must have been influenced by her previous books, because this book is not to me, a Newbery quality book.
So maybe they were like, oh man, we should have given her the Newbery the year. And so here's like a makeup award, basically.
That's what it felt like. Because to me, this book was not overwhelmingly
good. It wasn't good. It was a bad book. It was a snooze. 3 stars on Goodreads.
I wouldn't quite say it was a bad book, but it didn't feel like a Newbery book.
No, it wasn't a Newbery book. It's not, but it is. Has the stamp.
Also, she wrote the first book of this series 10 years before the rest of them.
Yeah.
I don't think when she originally wrote the first book that she
was planning to do a series.
Right. So maybe that's why it's so out of place.
Or boring, as the people say.
But this book isn't out of place compared to the rest of the books. Yeah. But yeah, so I these are just some of the books that are in a series that won the Newbery.
Ooh, she has a list.
I don't have a comprehensive list, but I will get one someday.
You should make one.
I will. I'm going to have to because you can't find one.
Be the maker of the comprehensive list.
So The Hero and the Crown, which we've read before. I forget what episode we did that one, by Robin McKinley. That is actually a prequel in a book series, but it was written... not first, even though it's a prequel.
It happened first.
But I felt like that one was okay because you didn't need to read the other book to be able to read that book since it was a prequel. I think it just would have been cooler, like, if you had read the other book. This one is called Dicey's Song by Cynthia Voigt. That was the second book in the Tillerman cycle. Are you familiar with that one, Leah? Oh, you just had...
Well, I just looked through all the books, and that one looked interesting to me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't pick it, because it's in a series.
So a lot of the other books that won that were in a series were the first book in the series. So Wrinkle in Time, Shiloh, Julie of the Wolves,
Crispin. We need to interview someone from the committee.
Obviously, The Giver was the first book in a series. So those I can be a little bit more lenient on, because they are being judged just for what they are. Mm-hmm. So...
someone from the Newbery committee needs to let us know. Yeah, but they would still maybe have an idea was chosen.
There's no rubric.
There has to be. There is a secret protocol somewhere. There is a vault with secret Newbery protocol, and we need it.
Is there like a Kids Choice Award for children's books out there?
I don't know. Listeners, if you know of a Kids' Choice Award,
because
shoot us
these are,
some
I mean,
answers.
These, yes, they're librarians, and most of, I'm guessing they're children's librarians, so they know what kids like because they're around the children in the library. But it would be cool for me to hear, like, a kid's opinion on some of these books.
There is a thing, Lauren.
What is it called?
Children's and Teen Choice Book Awards. There's a whole thing, and...
it's the only national book awards program where the winners are selected by kids and teens of all ages.
Is there a winner from last year?
They have like age levels. Oh.
Oh, perfect.
This is good. Okay.
So they do like grade by grade? Is it every grade or do they combine some grades?
It is kindergarten to second grade, third grade to fourth grade, fifth grade to sixth grade, and then they have teen books. So the fifth grade to sixth grade book of the year winner was The Losers Club. The teen book of the year was The Hate U Give.
Cool. I think I remember seeing that because I follow Angie Thomas. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm. That was 2018.
Ooh, the 2019 finalists have just been announced.
When does this happen, guys?
You can... voting is open now, it says.
I wish I was a child.
Just for this moment, right here.
So let's see. Let's do fifth through sixth grade. See what's up. Be the Change. The Future is in Your Hand. Fakers, an Inside Guide to Cons, Hoaxes, and Scams. Ghost Boys. That's a popular one that I've heard lots about. Pizzasaurus Rex, guys. That one. And Sewing the Rainbow. So those are the ones up for the fifth to sixth grade book of the year this year.
Some of these teen books have very nice covers.
Well, there you go. Cool. All right, well, now we know. And obviously, seeing that list, I can see why it's good to have a librarian pick some of these books. No, I'm just saying, like, I think kids should be able to choose books that they want to read, because reading is reading. Like, if they're reading, that's awesome. I think that's great. But then I also think it's good for kids to have books pressed into their hands by adults. Carrying adults in their lives.
Where is the award where because they combine the children and the librarians' decisions together? Know.
Very cool, though. Very cool.
We're going to make our own council and our own protocol.
The and we're going to friendship call award. It. Oh, boy. Okay. All right, guys. So the honor books. For this year, this 1976 year of the Newbery. All right. I'm in a really weird position right now. Okay. So, The 100 Penny Box by Sharon Bell Mathis was one of them. It says it's a short story with illustrations by Leo Dillon and Diane Dillon.
Thanks, Leo and Diane.
The other book was Dragon Wings by Lawrence Yip. Why does his name sound familiar? Why?
Because you say yip all the time.
So this book says it's based on an actual incident in which a Chinese immigrant made a flying machine and flew it on September 22nd, 1909. Ooh. Very cool. So, check those out if you are interested. Leah, it's your turn to pick the next book.
Okay, are you guys so excited?
Yes, I've got my Amazon up right now.
We will be reading the 1990 Newbery Award-winning book, Number the Stars by Lois Lowry. I'll read the Goodreads blurb.
It's the other winner.
Yeah. This is 10-year-old Anne Marie Johansson and her best friend Ellen Rosen. They often think of life before the war. It's now 1943, and their life in Copenhagen, Hagen, is filled with school, food shortages. And the Nazi soldiers marching through town. When the Jews of Denmark are relocated, in quotation marks, Ellen moves in with the Johansons and pretends, I guess it should be the Johansons, and pretends to be one of the family. Soon Anne-Marie is asked to go on a dangerous mission to save Ellen's life. This is probably not going to be an easy read, but it is a very good book. I believe I've read it before. It's a short one. So, for all you Mandys out there, you can do it.
And if I order it right now, I'll have it Monday.
Well, guys, we'd love if you read this book, we'd love to get your opinion on it.
If you read the series,
tell us. And also, I want to know, what do you guys think about books in a series winning the Newbery Medal? How do you feel about that?
I also want to know that.
Yeah. So, let's let the people know how to get in touch with us.
You can email us, teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram, teamfriendshippodcast.
We're on Facebook, facebook.com/teamfriendshippodcast.
We are also on Twitter, @threefriendspodcast.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
You can find me on Instagram, JediReader1138.
You can find me also on Instagram, RedheadedReader.
Ooh, guys, we need to tell people. So we have our book club on Facebook, which is Team Friendship Book Club, right?
Team Friendship Reads Book Club.
And we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But anyway, if you're not part of that, be a part of it. And then we're trying something new because Goodreads has a platform where you can do book clubs. So we're trying to get that started. So far, none of you have participated. It's just me and Leah over there commenting on stuff together. Just
chatting each other up on the Goodreads.
So check that out. Also, we are working on getting bags, team friendship bags. So if you're interested in a bag, I will put a link for that in the show notes as well. So first, what we're doing is just kind of seeing how much interest there is. Mm-hmm. And once we get like, we have to get like 20 bags, like that. I never know how to say this right. Like,
20 commitments.
Yeah, 20 commitments, I guess. Because we have some people who have committed to purchase bags, but they're not just purchasing one. They're purchasing like four, which is awesome.
Amazing.
So once we get to 20, then I can shoot the link out to the people who want to order where they can actually order. So the reason we're waiting for like that limit of 20 is because it just keeps the cost down. So obviously if we get more than 20, it would make it even cheaper. So,
and everyone likes cheaper.
Yeah. So we're starting out with bags because we did a survey on Facebook if people would rather want bags or t-shirts, and most of you wanted bags. So if there is a demand for t-shirts, we can get that going. But so far we haven't seen much demand for t-shirts. So
I demand it.
I would love a t-shirt. So that's one.
The bags are practical,
Mandy,
too, though.
Two. Leah, do you want a t-shirt?
I would wear
that's
a t-shirt.
Three. So we need 17 more people interested in t-shirts. All right. We have waxed eloquently.
We're also going to put a link on our website to my Instagram at...
Yes, I'm
a faux reader.
Oh, my word. I'm such a terrible person. Go check out Mandy's Instagram right now. If you're listening to this,
my dog.
Check it out right now. Well, folks, we'll see you all in another time.
And remember, friends, no two persons ever read the same book. Ever.
So we'll clap, Leah will start, and then we'll get into some book news. Dun, 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 or however it goes. Da, da, da. Okay. Oh. All right. One, two, three. Let's try that again. One, two, three.
This is where the song plays.
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone should smell their books right now.
Mine came from the library.
Yeah, mine's from the library.
Oh. I don't want to smell
it's
it.
It's probably like from 19. It's a hardcover, so it's probably from 1975.
Oh, yeah. That's old.
But I still
old
don't
want to
sniff it.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Okay.
I don't understand the cover of this book.
Mine's different.
Oh, because the dog.
Yeah, but there were lots of dogs. Which dog?
Yeah, but
is
the
this?
One dog, and they described
like a dog.
In detail.
I don't know. One of the dogs.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay,
guys.
All right. Okay. Da, 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 da.
All right. Okay. Book news.
I love Joanna Gaines. Whenever I'm checking out, I always do self-checkout, and sometimes I got to stand in line and wait. And I always look over, and I see her little magazine. And just her pictures just make me happy. Like, just awesome. The little cover picture of her. Like, the one I just saw, she, like, I think she had an umbrella or something.
Here we go.
Umbrellas are cute.
I don't know. It just made me happy inside to see her.
I think maybe you would like her books then.
Maybe.
For the nonfiction. Because you said you're scared of nonfiction. You would probably like her books. I bet they
books.
Have pictures in them.
If they have pictures.
They maybe. Probably most certainly do.
She probably has an Instagram.
She has that
homebody
book. Lauren just fell off the volcano.
I was chimney sweeping it.
So.
Someone tell mom not to buy it for you.
Well, if she does, whatever, you know.
Wow.
I still owe you a Christmas present.
Yes, you do.
And I kept yours.
That's fine. I would have done the same thing. Mandy bought me the illustrated, what was it?
It was the
History of Man.
The Beast?
No,
the,
it was.
Oh, it was.
This is riveting. I just want to say.
Can't remember.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Illustrated.
All I can think of is Bertie Botts, and that is not what it is. It's
Beetle the Bard?
Yeah, Beetle the Bard, yeah. The illustrated edition of those
Fantastic
stories.
Fantastic Beasts was the year before.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Mandy got it for me, but my mom bought everything on everyone's Amazon wish list this year, thinking that no one else saw the list. So
it's okay, Mom.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I mean, I guess now I know I can just send her a separate list and she can just get me all the things.
Fantastic Beasts one?
You gave us that last year. Oh, last year.
There's another one that has a cover that's similar. Never mind, sorry.
Yeah, you gave me the Tales of Beetle the Bard, which, yes. So Fantastic Beasts and the Tales of Beetle the Bard are in-universe books for the Wizarding World.
That's the right word, right?
I mean, sure. Okay. Sure.
And we can be more popular than the author one day, maybe.
Wow.
Damn friendships here again.
No, those are Mandy's dreams, not ours. We just like books. Mandy's in it for the fame.
Yes, all the fame. The people see me in the streets and scream my name. We're asking the hard questions.
I've always wanted to say that. Put a link in our show notes.
Well, today is the day that you got to do that. Well, guys, how I choose my next read.
That was, do you want us to ask everybody? You, Lauren?
I did. I
Lauren,
was waiting
how
for
do
someone
you
to
typically
ask me.
Choose your next read?
The Gray Kin.
By Lauren Keene.
The grayest of kin.
Coming out in the year 2020.
I think. Some people thought it was stupid. I'm not going to tell who those people are. But I thought it was epic, okay?
Here you go. Take that, people.
So.
Schemata, is that what you said?
Oh, that's my prior knowledge. My schemata. Don't you guys think? Anybody?
I felt like a special. Thank you for yelling.
Okay, Leah.
What?
Hang on a second. Hang on a second, guys.
Ooh, okay. It's secret time.
Nope, no secrets. Oh. No secrets. I just didn't do part
Text
of my job.
Text me your secrets.
I didn't do part of my
she
job.
She already wrote it on the paper. Oh. You didn't see that.
Nope.
No, Leah's secret. It's time for Leah's secret.
No, it's not. It's time for my secret.
Oh, Lauren has a secret.
It's not a secret. I have.
It's a secret because it's not on the show notes.
Yeah. And it should have been. It should have been on the show notes, guys.
Not on the outline.
So, check those out if you are interested.
I'm guessing that was before the Wright brothers. If they were being really specific about the date.
Probably, yeah. I mean, nothing in this description says anything about the Wright brothers, but I don't know.
I'm going to look it up.
When they did their thing. But, you know, that happens a lot. Stuff like that happens a lot.
This is 1909?
Yeah.
Oh, they apparently flew in 1903.
So. Oh, so, well, they were the winners. No, but I just read this. It was a picture book.
They were the winners.
They were the first.
Good job, Michael.
I guess. No, I just read this picture book about the first female filmmaker, and she was a French woman. And, she was doing, talkies before talkies were a thing in America. And, even, a lot of her film, because she came to America for a while and had a lot of films, and a lot of them were credited to men that were working on the project, even though she was the director. And, some of the men that were working on the project really didn't have big roles, but they were just, trying to find a man to credit it to. What is that?
That's crap.
Women can be filmmakers too.
I don't know what this has to do with anything.
Well, you, I just, anyway.
Okay. It's because of this book. We, there's too much masculinity going on in this episode, and we need some estrogen.
Anyway.
Food shortage, man, I can't talk. Food shortages.
Copenhagen.
Thank you. And the Nazis. I was trying to say shortage.
I'm really sorry. Oh. Oh.
I love how we haven't finished the episode and Leah is just like walking around,
closing curtains and
turning lights up.
I like it. I like it. It's nice in here.
Thank you.
It's very homey.